Hey, welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben White. This is the Ministry Minds Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is episode number 9. The Ministry Minds Podcast is a place where we get to have practical, down-to-earth conversations with our guests on the issues of life, leadership, and ministry. You know, our goal here at the Ministry Minds Podcast is just to be a blessing and encouragement to you as you seek to become more like Jesus Christ in your everyday life, and as you seek to serve God in whatever area that might be. It might be in ministry, it might just be a stay-at-home mom, it might be a Christian worker serving at his employer, but we really just want to be a challenge and encouragement to you, and to just help strengthen you and maybe challenge your thinking in some areas. And it's such a joy and a privilege to be able to interview our different guests on just all of these different topics, and to be able to get their knowledge and their wisdom and their years of experience. And I've thoroughly been enjoying the podcast, and I've just really been enjoying having these conversations. It's been such a blessing and a challenge to me personally, and I'm really glad that I'm able to share this with you guys, and you guys can enjoy this knowledge as well, and being able to just share this experience. So, hey, if you could do me a huge favor, if you could rate and review the podcast, this will be a huge help in helping other people get access to this material and to this content. And it will help other people be able to glean from the wisdom and knowledge of our guests as well. And so, hey, share the love. That's all we're trying to do. hey, if you can think of anybody that would benefit from this podcast, why don't you go ahead and share it with them? And I'm sure that they'll be grateful, just as I was grateful when my good friends shared podcasts with me and helped me in my spiritual journey. Hey, if you have any ideas of guests or topics that you would like us to have on the podcast, you can contact me through the website. That's ministryminds.co, or you can email me directly, ben white@ministryminds.co. All right, today I am very, very excited to have a special, special guest on the podcast today. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Pastor Daniel White. Pastor, welcome to the podcast.
The myth. That's good.
Pastor White is, in case you haven't noticed, our last names are the same. Pastor White, he is my father. I've had the privilege and honor of serving alongside him at Fellowship Baptist Church in Clark Lake, Michigan. And I have served with my dad for, how long have we been together now? About 10 years?
A long time.
Yeah, it's been about 10 years. And it's been... we've had our ups and downs over the years, as any father and son dynamic serving together would be, but it has been 90% wonderful and incredible, and we have thoroughly enjoyed it. So he has been the senior pastor at Fellowship Baptist Church since its founding in 1998. Pastor White has 10 children. So how has that been, being a father of 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls?
I say we had all these children to get all the grandchildren that we have right now. So right now we've got 25 grandchildren.
Well, you just got to...
So that was a blessing, having 10 kids. So I got the 25 grandkids.
25 grandkids. I'm guessing Christmas is tough on the pocketbook.
Well, wife just mentioned yesterday about birthdays. Now she wanted to do $25 per kid. And I'm like, you come on.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Holidays, you got birthdays for the children, grandchildren. I mean, that's 10 birthdays for your children, 25 birthdays, grandchildren. Whew. Well, praise the Lord that we're just going to trust him to provide.
Yeah, really.
I can't even imagine, growing up, if you were to add up all the money you spent on food, 7 boys, growing up with 7 boys. And the grandkids are constantly at your house, right?
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much here every day. Right now we're at Pastor White's house, and it's really amazing that there are no grandkids here. It's probably because they're all at school, but I guarantee you about 3 o'clock rolls around, this place is going to be hustling and bustling with grandchildren terrorizing through the house, taking food out of the fridge, all that good stuff. So he's had 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls. What's really cool is that actually a lot of your children are still in the area, right?
They all are in the area.
Yeah. So what do some of your children do right now at the church? Do they all go?
My oldest son, everyone is involved in some aspect of ministry in the church, so that's a blessing. Of course, you're the youth pastor, and I really enjoy serving with you. I said one thing good about having your son as the youth pastor is that you can get mad at him, and you know, no big deal.
Yeah, well, yeah. He doesn't really have a choice.
That's right. So we can get mad and upset with each other, and it's all right.
Yeah, but we still have to have Thanksgiving together.
Yeah. It works.
So that definitely is a benefit to that side. So, you know, one of the things Pastor White brings to the table is just all of his years of experience. And Pastor White has been in the, how long have you been in the ministry now?
Well, this would be 38 years as a senior pastor.
Mm. So almost 40 years. And before you were pastoring, you know, full-time pastoring, even when you were in college, you were pastoring a church, right?
Yeah, I was for a year. And I was single at that time and pastoring a little church in Goodman, Wisconsin. And a lot of the couples there had marriage issues, and I didn't feel like I was capable of meeting their needs. Mm. We're going to talk about counseling today, and I didn't feel like I could really counsel them and to help them. And so we had another man come on board as the pastor, and I just stayed there, and I served as the adult Sunday school teacher.
Mm. That's kind of ironic that you left that church because you didn't feel capable of counseling, and now at over almost 40 years of ministry, how many marriage counseling sessions have you been through?
Oh, I couldn't even count.
Hundreds, thousands.
But I still feel inadequate.
Yeah, yeah, so. As we all do. And so let me just preface this you know, podcast today and this episode is, first off, this is from a pastor's heart, okay? I understand a lot of you guys out there, you know, we're not licensed counselors, okay? We haven't gone to, you know, 4 or 8 years of college to just learn how to do counseling, okay? There are those out there, and I praise God for those people, and they're doing such an incredible work, and they're such an asset to ministries and to other people. But in reality, most churches, most people, they're just not going to have access to people of that level of education, that level of knowledge. And so a lot of us out there that are serving in whatever respective areas that God has placed us are going to counsel people someday, and we're going to have to do that. And so I'm really looking forward to today's episode because we're going to be talking with Pastor White about how to counsel. What does that look like? What does that mean? How to counsel people? And this is just from a pastor's heart. This is from Pastor White, over 40 years of experience, almost 40 years of experience, just some things that he's learned. Some things that he's, you know, tricks of the trade that he's developed over the years. And one of the reasons that I really wanted to have him on to teach us is because it's just real life. This is real life of a pastor serving in his local area, just trying to do the best he can. So I'm looking forward. Let's go ahead and jump into this conversation. So I'm going to be referring to Pastor White in the future as Dad, because I'm just going to default to that anyways, because he is my dad. And that's just probably what I'm going to refer to him as. So Dad, let me ask you this. How would you define counsel? What is counsel? What does that even mean, to counsel someone?
I think in the beginning of my ministry, I saw it as just giving advice to people. And it is giving advice. But as I've gone along in the ministry, I see it more as an avenue of discipleship. You are discipling. Mm. Go and make disciples. You are discipling people in whatever particular areas that they are struggling in. And I would say that most of my counseling does have to deal with marriage issues.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
Well, you get two people living together, you're going to have issues.
You know, two sinful people.
If they're not walking in the Spirit, which how many times are we truly walking in the Spirit? And I always say that men and women are just wired so differently. We see things from two different perspectives.
Mm.
And in counseling, I've always found that when a couple comes in for counseling, there's one or two things happening. She does not feel cherished in her relationship with her husband, for a number of various reasons that will be brought out during the counseling session. And he does not feel respected, reverenced the Bible says. And so that seems to be the two areas where marriage breaks down, and then conflicts arise and bitterness sets in, and you got to work people through that.
If you would, what do you think, if you were to look at all of your counseling sessions, what percentage tends to be marriage counseling?
I would say 80%.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I actually did not realize that.
I would say 80%.
Wow. That's huge. So, you know, let's say somebody's sitting here listening. What if I'm guessing it would probably be consistent across the board as far as counseling goes. So what would you say to somebody that maybe hasn't counseled, or maybe they're young getting into the ministry, or maybe they're a young youth pastor? So what you're saying is, you know, maybe you should be prepared for marriage counseling or those type of situations.
I'd be honest with you, I don't know if I'm ever prepared. The Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, because you really never know what issues are going to be brought up. And it's amazing what kind of issues will be brought up during a counseling session, things that you would never have imagined that people have been involved in. And so I guess, you know, if I had any advice, it would be just to, before you enter into that counseling session, to really make it a matter of prayer, to ask the Lord to give you wisdom, to, as whatever issues are being brought to you, ask the Lord to bring scripture. If we know the truth will make us free. And then to apply scripture and scriptural principles to whatever issue that is being brought to you.
So really, I mean, just this is just true for life in general. Be saturated in the Word of God, right?
He is the mighty counselor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not left up to us, you know, to come up with some plan or idea of how these issues can be resolved. But we believe all of the answers to life are found in God's Word.
Amen. And you know, through God's word, you know, that's what really gives you the authority in counseling, which is true in preaching, right? I mean, the authority comes from the Word of God.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so have that foundation, or else it's just your thoughts and it's just your own, you know, things you're just creating in your mind, which, you know, people can say great things, but when you use God's word, you got that authority behind it. God's authority is behind you.
It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So we believe that God's word has all the answers.
Amen. Let me ask you this. What type of people give counsel? Like, is it just people in ministry? Let's say somebody's listening to this and they're a housewife, or maybe it's a guy on his way to work. Who gives counsel? What type of people are, you know, supposed to give counsel?
Supposed to or do?
Yeah. You know, both.
Everybody gives counsel. I'm always telling our teenagers, don't listen to your friends. Everybody's giving counsel. Everyone's throwing their ideas out there.
Yeah.
But I think someone needs to be, you know, if you really are going to give counsel, it needs to come from the basis of authority, which is God's word. And if someone comes to you and you don't know, don't make something up.
That's powerful.
You know, I always say to people, if your car is broken, you're going to take it to someone who knows how to fix it. You know, it's pretty important that our car is running and can get us back and forth to work. And sometimes we see maintaining our car is more important than maintaining our relationships. So if something's not working, you should not feel poorly about going and getting some help and some advice and some discipleship.
That's really good. Using that car metaphor, you know, let's say somebody came to me, you know, there are a few things I do know about a car. Like if someone came to me, but my knowledge is limited. So, I mean, using that same illustration, if somebody comes to you for counsel, you know, I know you have experience in things, but we need to be self-aware enough to realize when this is over, I don't know how else to say it, but this is above my pay grade. Let's try to reach out to somebody else that might have a little bit better understanding. Do you think a temptation for maybe people in ministry or a pastor is to just act like they do have all the answers?
I don't know. Of course, that would depend on the individual. But I know I certainly don't have them. I know when it comes to counseling women, I never counsel a woman alone. And and always direct those women to my wife. And of course, she's a great counselor.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you think that some people might be more gifted at counseling than other people?
Well, yeah, it was just the other night I got called to someone's home late in the evening. And as I was there, someone else showed up. I don't want to go into any details at all. But so the two of us were sitting at the table talking to another individual, and I was blown away by how this person handled the situation. He was not in the ministry, as we would consider in the ministry, full-time ministry. He actually worked for an automotive company, but just his knowledge of God's word, the way that he handled the situation, his compassion, insight, all biblical, was amazing. I hardly had to say a thing because he did a much better job in discipling this person at that moment than I could have done.
Hmm. What would you say to somebody that would you say, I'm not good at counseling? You know, should they, you know, even let's say somebody in ministry, should they just kind of find somebody that is good at counseling and refer everyone to them? Or should they just be like, hey, this is something you have to learn. You're going to need to counsel people, whether you feel like you're good at it or not. What are your thoughts on that?
I guess when you feel like you're really good at something, you're probably not the one to give the counsel and advice. It's kind of like a pretty prideful statement.
Okay, well, let me rephrase it like this. Maybe they're not, they wouldn't say like, I'm really good at it, but they enjoy it. They enjoy counseling people. You know, I love being able to talk with people and walk them through situations. And, you know, some people are just more gifted at things than other people.
Yeah.
So let's say somebody thinks, I'm just not gifted at it. I get flustered. I don't have the words to say. Should they still take counseling seriously and realize this is something they should do, or maybe try to find someone to delegate that type of responsibility to?
Well, certainly delegation, there's no problem there. As a pastor, however, you do have to have some ability, or you should have some ability. That's just part of the ministry. People come to you all the time for counsel, advice, discipleship, so on. So, you know, we can't always just hand that off to someone else. But yeah, if it was a real difficult situation, like right now I'm dealing with an area of addiction. I understand nothing about addiction. It's very frustrating dealing with this person who just continually falls back into their drug use. And I don't understand it. I don't have an addictive personality, but this person does. They've gone to RU ministry that a local church has here, but it doesn't seem like anything that we have done has worked in trying to help this person. This person sincerely wants help. So it's very difficult for the parents. It's heart-wrenching for them. It breaks my heart that this person keeps, you know, falling back into this sin. But again, maybe there's someone who comes from a background of addiction that the Lord has given them victory in this area, and they can much better identify with that person. So in a situation like this, I would be glad to hand that off to someone who has more experience in that field.
All right. So it's kind of like we mentioned before, we need to, even as ministry leaders, really no matter what position you're in, be able to be self-aware enough to know our competencies and to realize that I'm just not competent to deal with drug addiction. I'm just not, my knowledge base just doesn't go that deep. I don't want to give misinformation or you know, bad information. And to be able to rally somebody around you that is more experienced in those type of areas. I think that's really good advice.
Sure. I had a man come to me here a few years ago with PTSD. I've never dealt with that. I can't identify with what he's seen and what he's experienced. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Let's find someone who maybe understands that a little bit better.
Amen. And I think it goes back to the fact that we always have to have that humility to realize we don't know everything and we don't have all the answers. And I know people right now that it's, I'm thinking of someone right now off the top of my head. Every time I talk to this individual at all, he has all the answers. I mean, it doesn't matter what topic we're talking about. He knows everything there is to know about any topic, which of course we all know he really doesn't, but he likes to think he does. So we need to have that humility to just understand where our competencies are, where they are not. And, you know, let's say the addiction thing, if the Lord leads you, then start getting educated on that. Maybe the situation happens and you go, wow, this is something I'll probably have to deal with again. I think it's different. Also, you're listening to this all over the world, right? And I don't know, there's things going on right now in the Philippines that are different to your context. There are things that we would, you know, serving here in Michigan, there are cultural contexts that are different than maybe Texas or California. So understand your context, your demographic, the type of people you need to reach, and maybe spend some time getting yourself educated and learning that demographic. Like, for example, Pastor White does, as he has said, does a lot of marriage counseling. So he spends a lot of time learning about marriage.
And I think that's right. It depends on the makeup of your church. Makeup of our church has always been, we've had a lot of young couples, and even though I'm now older, for whatever reason, and I don't understand it, we still are attracting young couples with families.
Amen.
So, I mean, it's a blessing. When you look out there at our fellowship now, you have the older saints, you have the medium age, and then you have the younger ones. And yeah, it's a good balance.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Speaking of marriage, and I know we kind of touched on this earlier, and I know this is a super general question because it's always different, but you did kind of walk us through this. But let's say a couple is coming in for marriage counseling. Walk us through a typical marriage counseling situation that you would deal with.
A typical one?
I know.
None of them are typical.
I know, obviously, because there's always sin involved, which complicates
but
things.
But I will say that almost every single situation falls under she doesn't feel cherished or he doesn't feel reverenced, and you can plug them in under those categories. Of course, bitterness is something you always have to deal with, dealing with these offenses that arise. And, you know, a root of bitterness will trouble you and thereby defile many others. It's really a defiling factor in any relationship.
So how would you deal with that? Someone comes in, you realize some of the issues here are bitterness. How would you walk through that, exposing? Because I'm assuming most people that are bitter don't really realize that they're bitter. How would you walk them through that, trying to help them overcome that bitterness?
Well, first of all, help them to realize they have to overcome it. You know, they have to recognize it, and they have to be willing to forgive. And then I have some good material that I've developed over the years. Of course, right now I'm teaching a whole series on marriage in the home on Wednesday night, but I would definitely give them the materials that I've put together on overcoming bitterness, and then keep them accountable to work through that and the scriptures that are there. So that's how I approach it.
So listen, if you are going to deal with bitterness, Pastor White just mentioned his material, I'll go ahead and get that from him.
Actually, we could put it in a PowerPoint presentation.
Cool.
Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get that material. I'll add it in the show notes. So if you're listening to this and you think you might deal with an issue with bitterness, I'll get Pastor's notes, and that will be a download. Actually, if you go to the website, ministryminds.co, you go to this episode, I'll go ahead and put that link. You can download it, and you'll have all those resources available to you. We just really want to help you guys out.
Right now, with technology, the way it is in my office, I have my computer hooked up to a large screen TV. And I will actually take people through a PowerPoint presentation. And that's I just found the PowerPoint to be extremely effective in the area of discipleship. I use it every Wednesday night. I use it in my counseling.
Why do you think that is?
The visual. Not only are they hearing it, they're also seeing it. Many of our people are taking notes then, especially in a counseling session when they've really come for help. I always encourage them to bring a notepad so they can jot things down, because we forget.
Yeah. What do you do? Because you said when they really come for help. What do you do when you sense that somebody didn't really come for help and they're just kind of doing it as a formality? Have you ever dealt with that?
My wife and I have talked many times about how many hours we have wasted in counseling. And when I was in college, one of our professors, he's actually the president of our college at that time, Dr. Wooster, I'll never forget him saying, if people are not willing to attend the services of the church, don't waste your time counseling them. Because the best counsel they will receive is from the preaching of God's word from the pulpit. Now, I haven't always followed that and really have wasted my time. So I actually tell folks when they come and say, listen, don't waste our time. If you're not willing to apply what you're hearing, if you're not willing to come to church and sit under the preaching of God's word, then I can't help you.
So how do you discern as you're counseling somebody, because I'm sure this is an issue that many people will come upon, how do you discern when they are wasting your time and where to, because I mean, we all only have so much energy and time in the day, and you know, we want to utilize it correctly according to the Lord, but you can tell this is just a waste of time. This is not going anywhere. How do you discern that?
Well, you got to be honest with people. I mean, if they're not doing, I give people homework to do, you know, let's say someone's struggling in the area of their finances, I give them a budget, and both the husband and wife have to sit down and they have to fill out that budget. Now, next week, if they come back for counseling and they have not followed through with that, then why go any further?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not willing to take the primary steps, then we can't advance you along. That's why I said I see it as discipleship, not just giving counsel and advice, but discipling people. And not everyone wants to be a committed disciple.
So why do you think some of the reasons that people come, but they don't really seem to want the help, but they're coming anyway? Why would they do that?
I don't get it. Other than they just want someone maybe to take their side in whatever the issue is that's arisen, particularly if we're talking about marriage. Sometimes they just want someone to dump on, someone to listen to them. And that's an important part of counseling.
Absolutely.
It's just to listen. And just that people know that you love them. I love you. I care about you. I'm here. I'm a listening ear. You can tell us anything. It won't go outside of this counseling room. But that your people know you really, really care.
How important is confidentiality when it comes to counseling sessions? And you're counseling people to make sure that you keep what's said confidential. And then when would be an appropriate time to break that confidentiality, if there is a case?
I can't think of any case where I have personally dealt with where confidentiality would have to be broken, other than, and I've never had this brought to me, let's say you were dealing with a child molestation issue.
So something legal.
Something that is criminal.
Right.
Personal.
So besides that, you need to be confidential. Be a person that can be trusted with the information that's been brought to you.
Yes.
So if you struggle with gossip, you're probably not somebody that should be counseling other people. Or I guess if you are, people aren't going to come to you for counsel for long if they know that you're spreading the word.
Yeah.
Marriage, I think that's something that a lot of people will probably have to deal with, especially ministry leaders have to be dealing with marriage, issues.
And I think make sure your own marriage is good.
Hmm.
You know, how can you disciple someone in an area if, you yourself need help in that area? So that's something the Lord has given to my wife and I. It's just, he's given us a great marriage, a oneness of spirit, and we treasure that.
Let me ask you this. How would you walk through a situation counseling somebody with their children? I know that's obviously a situation that you probably come to a lot, but how would you deal with something like that? And I don't want to say typical because I know each one is so different. So how do you walk through a parent and child
That's interesting you'd ask, because next week's Wednesday night message will be on why children rebel. There's always a cause and effect sequence, a reaping and sowing. If we sow certain things, then we can trust that we'll reap certain things. He that sows to the flesh, so the flesh reap corruption. So I think what we need to do in a parent-child relationship if I'm dealing with the parents and not the child, is to see, is there any area in which we have failed our children in, where we have lost their heart? You know, Solomon, I think the first seven chapters of Proverbs begins with my son, my son, my son, my son, just reaching out to his son and asking his son, give me your heart. And once we lose the heart of our children, it's a difficult thing to get it back. So find out where you lost it, why you lost it, and then put out whatever steps that you have to in place to get it back. I mean, how many times have I had to apologize to you and ask your forgiveness? And I think recognizing to say, not just, son, I'm sorry, but to say, Ben, I was wrong for whatever that was that I did that hurt you. Will you please forgive me? I think we need to get very specific. So just helping parents to see there's not such a thing as a perfect parent. Lord knows we have failed miserably in the raising of our children. But I don't know if that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think a lot of it comes down to, because even as you're talking, and I haven't done a ton of counseling in my life, just in all honesty, I just really haven't. And honestly, this episode was for me personally, just to be able to glean some knowledge and wisdom here. But let me ask you this, as you're talking, as I've been thinking through some of the things that you've been saying, do you think a lot of it, relational conflict, comes down to pride and just that pride of not admitting that you're wrong, or that conflict, and just a lot of those walls break down when humility takes that place and people are willing to just admit that they've been selfish or they've been sinful and asked sincere apologies? And do you think a lot of that bringing relationships back together comes to, you know, trying to help these people develop humility in their life?
Tonight we're going to be speaking on why are there conflicts in marriage. And one of the verses that I'll be using just to start us off with is, only by pride cometh contention. So when you have contention in a relationship, it's because there's pride issues there. We all, I always say the pride of life runs deeply in the heart of every one of us.
Yeah.
And to humble yourself, to admit that you were wrong, is not always an easy thing to do.
I know.
But we have to do it if we're going to move forward.
What are some of the biggest things, and I don't know if you've answered this yet already or not, but what are some of the biggest things you've learned about counseling over the years?
I think the importance of showing compassion. Without love, we are nothing. I definitely have become more compassionate over the years, less critical and judgmental of folks who have come in for counseling. You know, we go back to what I mentioned about the wasting of time. I've really tried to cut the counseling sessions much shorter if people are not willing to really put an effort forward in that area. I think that's really important. I think that advice that I received as a young man from Dr. Wooster, you know, if they're not willing to come to church and sit under the preaching of God's word, then really, should I be taking up my time? You know, everybody's going to have a different take on that.
Yeah.
But I think that was good advice that I got.
I think that is. I think that's a good thing for us to all be thinking through. You know, if they're not willing to, I mean, that's really good. I mean, I haven't really ever thought of that. But if they're not willing to come to church, then are they really serious about God? You know, and if counseling, hopefully, if you're in the ministry and all your counseling goes back to the Word of God, well, it's because we take the Word of God serious, and that's our sole authority of faith and practice. And if they don't, well, then, you know, who is their motives really right for coming to counseling, or will it be a waste of time? I don't think that's a hard, fast rule either way, but probably just something to think through as we, you know, have to.
Yeah, and like I said, I haven't always followed that, and sometimes I wish I would have followed it more.
What are some of the things that you don't do anymore when counseling? And once again, I don't know if we've already answered this or not, but you're like, I wouldn't do this anymore when counseling.
I guess I keep coming back to this. I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but going on and on and on and on and on in the counseling session when you see no movement forward on the part of that person. If they're growing and they're applying the things that they're learning, and each week you're meeting with them and progress is being made. Like I said, I see it as discipleship. When you get to the point to where you say, oh, no more discipleship needed.
Right.
But yeah, it's a, well, I've told you this before, the best discipleship is going to be received from the preaching of God's word.
None.
So really our whole ministry circle around discipleship. I think a lot of times people see discipleship as just a one-on-one thing, and certainly it is. But when I stand behind the pulpit and preach, I'm looking out there at my people and I'm discipling all of them right there at that time. And I think that's the most important avenue of discipleship. Counseling is just an extension of that discipleship.
How could we grow in our discipleship ability? Like, let's say there's people out there and they're, you know, I'm not really good at discipling, or I've never really done it. How can they get better at discipling? Or excuse me, counseling. How can they get better at counseling? Discipling, same thing like you said, but just become better counselors.
I think it goes back to what you mentioned earlier. We're all gifted in different areas. You know, I happen just to have the gift of teaching. My wife is an exhorter.
If there's people out there and they say,
I would say I've grown in my counseling ability as I have grown in the Lord personally. As I've gained a deeper, more practical knowledge of his word, as I have matured in my walk in Christ. For example, we have in our church, we have two retired pastors. One is in their mid-80s, the other is 95 years old and
wow,
still just as sharp as a tack. I'm telling you, if I need some advice and counsel and discipleship in life, I'm definitely going to those two guys and talking to them, because it's like they've seen it all.
Yeah. Do you think pastors need counsel?
Oh, yeah.
Who should pastors go to if they need counsel?
Well, I'm very blessed to have those two men in my church. One of them, I call him my pastor. It's Pastor Bruce. We tried to have lunch together. He just recently lost his wife, and we try to have lunch together at least once a week. We don't always do that, but most every week we have lunch together, and that is my opportunity just to bump some things off of him and to get his counsel and advice and things. I have a lot of good pastor friends now in the area, and that has developed over the years. There was many, 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 many years we did not have good fellowship with other pastors of like mind, but we have that now, and we meet together once a month for breakfast, and any one of those men I can go to, or I could shoot a text to them, or they'll shoot a text to me. Just a couple days ago, one of those men shot a text to me, and he said, would you tell me what you think about this? And to which I just simply replied back. It was a very, very long text. I responded back to him. I would have handled it in the exactly same way that you did. So it's good to have that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that confirmation to kind of know when you're going in the right direction, but yet friendships that are willing to be honest with you when they see directions that they're not going in, or just people that are willing to be honest in general. So I think that's a big thing with a counselor. Don't you agree? Is someone that's just willing to be honest with you?
Yeah, I tell folks, I teach more from failure than from success.
Mm.
So our own personal failures can be used of the Lord, you know, as a life message to others. Well, this past Sunday, I just was really challenging our young people, you know, let me live my own life. We were preaching on the prodigal son. Let me do what I want to do. And I said, what a foolish way to live. Mm. You know, if you can glean from others who have made mistakes and you can avoid them, that's a wise person.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has been a great conversation with Pastor and Dad. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And I hope Pastor White will join us again on the podcast.
I said, this is it. This is the one and only. Ben, my son keeps asking me to do this. I don't want to do this.
He's been my hardest guest to get on, and we literally live one block from each other. I pass his house every day, and he's been the hardest guest to get on. But I'm glad we were finally able to get Pastor White on, and I know that My dad's wisdom has been a blessing and a help to me over the years, and I hope that it's been a blessing and a help to you. And Pastor White has so much more to give, and hopefully we can get him back on here in some upcoming episodes to share some more knowledge just from his experience. This is what I love. This podcast, hey, it's real life. Right. This is just real life. This is he's a real life pastor that's been pastoring for almost 40 years, being faithful, doing what God has called him to do. He's not perfect. He's not, you know, got all the deep education of everything. These are just real life conversations. And guess what? I know that's what all of you are out there, too. That's what I am. Right. Let's just be honest. That's who we are. And so thank you so much for spending some time to just share your experience in your real life, things that you've learned over the years with us, and hopefully we can glean some of that as well. Hey, if you found this podcast helpful, why don't you go ahead and rate and review the podcast? That would go a long way in helping other people find this material. And if there's anything you'd like us to talk about or any guests that you'd like us to have on, feel free to visit the website, ministryminds.co, and you can contact me through there, or you can email me directly, benwhite@ministryminds.co. Remember, we are going to be adding some of the resources that Pastor White talked about. We're going to be adding those in the show notes. And if you want the link to some of those counseling materials, go to the website, ministryminds.co, and go to Pastor White's episode. And I will have a link to those, and you'll be able to directly download them. All right. We just want to be a help to you. We want to give you these resources, and that's what we'll have there on the website. Our goal is really just to be a blessing and encouragement to you guys as you minister in your respective areas, and hopefully give you some helpful tips along the way, and help you to become more effective in the area of ministry God has called you to. Once again, this is Ministry Minds. My name is Ben White. I am your host. I look forward to seeing you back here again next time. Peace.